Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, are you bummed out about all the negative political ads on the radio and on TV and print and digital? You are not alone. They're having an impact on a lot of us. For more on how this is working, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Christopher Chavez, Carolyn S. Chambers Distinguished Professor of Advertising at the University of Oregon. Professor, when did ads become so negative, or have they always just been this way?
Unfortunately, they've always been this way. I mean, negative political advertising are almost as old as our republic, going back to Johnson. So some of the early, basically ads have been really negative from time on.
Is one party more negative than the other, have we found over the years?
No, I think both Democrats and Republicans are equal offenders. Lyndon B. Johnson, attacking Barry Goldwater in the Daisy ad, George Bush for the Willie Horton ad. And so you kind of see different kinds of parties really going after each other with negative advertising.
So is it safe to say then that these negative attack ads have been effective in influencing our decisions over the years?
Yeah, I mean, you see them. I think, we have sort of hardwired to think about negative information and to attend to it. And then emotions like fear, anger, mistrust are powerful motivators in getting people to the polls. And we see that being proven out. Voter participation has increased, exponentially over the past few elections.
And yet, if you ask the person on the street, they will tell you that they're tired of negative attacks and they're tired of negative ads. But they're kind of buying into the whole thing, aren't they?
In some ways. I mean, they definitely get our attention, especially in today's media landscape. But it's interesting because regular commercial advertisers actually shy away from negative advertising. They don't find it a long-term solution for their brands. So advertising for politicians kind of bucks the trend in that way.
Well, it does. And I'm wondering what that does to our mental well-being, because you hear about, and this was big in the 80s and the early 90s, there were television stations across the country that tried to go for strictly more positive news, happy news, and it just didn't work. The ratings just tanked. So do you think that's the way it is with politics now? Everyone's just too cynical and just fear sells, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it's always going to be?
I do think people have sort of a better ideal for what political discourse should be. And think of Jürgen Habermas's notion of the public sphere, where people can engage in rational, dispassionate debate. But that doesn't seem to be how we vote. I mean, we really vote on emotion. We're passionate beings. And politicians know this. And so they're highly, highly effective. But it does have an effect. I think overwhelmingly, when you're surrounded by so much negativity and so much toxic messaging, it denigrates. It denigrates so many of our civic processes, so many of our institutions, the candidates that are involved with them. And so I can see where it contributes to an overall public malaise.
What about the volume of political ads? Have they increased with the negativity?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we have so many more platforms that are available today that we didn't have even 10 years ago. So it's not only television or print or radio anymore. It's social media platforms of infinite variety. So just the sheer number of political advertisings has been, increased exponentially. And again, like, with that comes the preponderance of negative tone within ads. So I think there's just more that voters are exposed to.
You almost have to pay attention to them these days, because it doesn't seem like the ads are talking about the politician or their qualifications about them. They're sort of going after their opponent and
right,
attacking them during the entire television commercial, so you're not really learning a lot about the candidate that's running. You're just sort of, being told why you shouldn't vote for the other person.
Absolutely. And in some ways, that's the nature of the way ads are structured anyways. I mean, you have 30 seconds, or you have, in some cases on social media, a few lines or a short segment. That doesn't lend itself to rational discourse, where you can go into some of the specifics of policy issues or the qualifications. So advertising in some ways is just not built for that kind of civic discourse in the way that other kinds are, like journalism or debates or speeches or other forms that allow you to get into issues in much more depth Some of it is just the nature of the way ads are structured.
Do you think we are built for rational discourse, though, as a population, as a voter these days? Do you think that's something that most people have any interest in anymore?
It seems less so. I mean, it seemed before there were, you know, advertising was one tool in the toolbox as part of a larger campaign strategy, you know, debates being others. But it seems like here, just the amount of advertising that has become the primary form of political discourse these days, superseding all the others. And so that doesn't lend itself to more rational debate around the issues. And these things are important. They have a profound impact on the citizenry. So yeah, I think the advertising component of it has overwhelmed other forms of communication.
All right, Professor, we appreciate your time. That is Christopher Chavez, Carolinas Chambers Distinguished Professor of Advertising at the University of Oregon.